get ready for a transformation.
But in this kingdom, we start growing. We are replacing those carnal thoughts with the word of God. Our minds are renewed to the word of God. At that time, glory, glory, glory. So when we are speaking from knowledge. Or you wake up and say, hey, bonga fish, angari. Glory to God. I took it in the dream. I will never take it in life. In the name of Jesus.
See, I'll never be poor.
Ah! Jesus Christ. Pay attention to everything I'm going to show you.
Another life-changing moment with Apostle Peters.
How many of you want to be... of course, but let's stay at. You may be surprised. How many of you want to be great? Just wave your hand like that. Okay. Okay, I raise my legs too. Greatness is named upon me. I'll never be small in my life. I was born to be great. And so, I have to fulfill that. I will always be great. You can tell the person beside you, say, listen up. This one that is sitting beside you is a great man. Say, don't size me by my physical appearance, because you've been making a mistake. Say, I'm bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Say, I'm so big. I'm so great. Say this one. Say, I'm so loaded. Say, stop looking at me. Just listen to what I'm telling you. Don't look at the price of my shirt. Stop. Don't look at my shoes. Just hear me. Say, this one that is seated beside you is the wealthiest being in the whole world. Now, that guy thinks you're teasing. Because you know, sometimes when you tell people to say things like this, they say, I like that pastor. Ah, there's a way it makes his people feel good. No, this is not about making you feel good. We are talking the word. It's the word. It's in the word. And by the way, if you're saying it and somebody beside you is not feeling happy about it, don't care. Say, well, I don't care. Say, I'm so rich. I'm so loaded. I'm so powerful. Say, the world is afraid of me. Look at that one. I bought to have a say, I'll never be small in my life. Glory to God. In reality, every child of God, every child of God was born to be great. Now, not everyone that was created by God will be great. Never you forget that. Except you're just deceiving them. You know, sometimes you could have some people, you just gather everybody together and say, every one of you in this place, greatness. It's not true. It's not true. Only those who have been born again. Why? Because they are just like their father. To be born again means to be born of God. And God is a great God. And so, you have the nature of God. That's the nature of greatness. So you will have to be great. According to the Bible, everyone that is a child of God was born to be great. Now, not everyone who's created by God will be great. There are some of them that are not born again that will be great. But that kind of greatness is another kind of greatness. And I may talk about that shortly. Okay? But not everyone will be great. But every one of us that is a child of God were born to be great. But sadly, even amongst those of us that are children of God that have been born to be great, not every one of us will still be great. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 15, not 5. Chapter number 15, reading from the 41st verse. I want to show you something there that God says. It's right there on the screen. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. So there is the sun and there is the moon. And another glory of the stars. And there are stars. For one star different from another star in glory. According to the word of God, every child of God is a star. I showed you that before. That's the reason why when God wanted to make Abraham believe what he has said about him being the father of many nations, God had to take him out and then show him stars. And God said, can you count them? He said, I can. I tried. I couldn't. Then God said, as many as you have this that you couldn't count, that's how much you won't be able to count your seeds, because your seeds will be stars. You understand? So we are all stars. But according to the Bible, the glory of one star is different from the other. We are all stars. We're all born to shine. But if you notice, even physically, there are some stars in heaven that shine brighter than the other ones. That's just the way we are. But we are all stars anyhow. But some of us have chosen to shine. Some of us have chosen not to really shine. So your shining is left to you. But every one of us is a star. Which means that every one of us is born great. Born to be great. There are three ways to become great. Three ways generally to become great. Nothing changes these three ways. The first way is by birth. Some people become great by birth. They have a great name by birth. For instance, if you came here and I asked, how are you doing? What's your name? And he said, my name is Mary Biden. Say what? Say it again. Say Mary Biden. Which Biden? Now, if you're black, we will not believe you. We may not. But then let's assume that you came here all white with long hair, you understand? And then we say, oh, we have a Yumbo in our midst. Hello. And she just stands up and says, hello. So we say, what's your name? And she says, I'm Mary Biden. Now, I'm not sure whether Joe Biden has any child, daughter, by the name Mary Biden. I'm just talking. But then, because of the Biden behind, we don't want to quickly think the daughter of, no, we don't want to quickly. But that name gets your attention. Like Biden, it can be. You'll be thinking in your heart. Then let the lady go further and say, the daughter of the president of USA. Why? Because the father is great. So that girl is born great. Don't you understand? It's great. Her greatness is by birth. How? She didn't do anything to earn the greatness. But the fact that she has the name of that father, she is great. Do you get it? There's also greatness by bestowal. By bestowal. Somebody conferred greatness on you. And that's what happened in some of those towns and villages or cities, wherever they had this king. It may not even be something that has to do with kingship, but sometimes, many times, it happens in the kingship where the king would just say, oh, from today, we bestowed on him or we conferred on him the title of so one. Okay? So, conferment. He got greatness by conferment. That's how he came about the name. They conferred it on him. You see that? Okay. Then the third way is by achievements. By achievements. You did something that earned you greatness, that earned you the name. So everywhere, for instance, Professor Wole Soyinka, okay, he got that name by achievement. So when you talk about Wole Soyinka, not because Wole Soyinka is one special name, anybody can carry that name, but because of his achievement, there's this greatness about that name. Okay? So you get that by achievements. Great name. I remember when I was in the secondary school. And I just joined not too long, the very first year. And they gave me an award in the whole school. I didn't know they did that until I knew. You understand? to be the neatest boy in the school. Okay. Oh boy, that immediately gave me a new level of respect. You see, why? Because, but you have to understand that God helped me in this sense. I just came in, so my uniforms are still, you understand? but being someone that I always love to appear neat outside, I don't joke with my appearance. So they said, oh, the neatest boy in the school, and gave me this award, and boy, did I feel like a butterfly. And then the whole school, the whole boys in the school, they had their eyes on me now. They started copying me. You understand? They started copying me. I used to have tie clip. The school didn't give us that. But because, you know, we use tie. Long tie. So I had to get one from my dad that I used. So the next thing, all the guys started using the clips too. And so on and so forth. So anything I did to make myself look good, they copied. Achievement. I got that greatness. So in the whole school, there's this level of respect that I got. That's because that's achievement. Did you know something? If you're born again, all three ways that I just mentioned to you, that's how you got your greatness. You say, how? I want to tell you. By birth. If you're born of God, you're born into greatness. That's you. It's your birthright. You say, what about bestower? Who bestowed it on us? Yes. God bestowed greatness on you. Why? Because of Jesus. You see that? Jesus achieved greatness. That's the third one. Achievement. Jesus achieved greatness. And Jesus' achievement is your achievement. Because what he did for you. And so, his greatness was bestowed on us. That's why we are born in every way. We were born great. Can you see that? So it's not because you did something. It's because somebody did something for you. You know, one of the painful things is that Christians have not learned to take advantage of what they really have and who they are in Christ. Jesus did something. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 1. Okay, let's start from John. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, reading from the 12th verse. But as many as received him. Can we read this from the... Okay, let's read this here first. Love the Amplified. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13. Which were born. Now, go to the Amplified. Which owed their birth neither to blood, nor to the will of the flesh, that of physical impulse, not of the will of man, that of a natural father, but to God. So, because you owe your birth to God, you see, just for that alone, greatness is your portion. The Bible says you are an heir of God. And the God we're talking about is a great God. But Ephesians chapter number 1 verse 3. Because there's something I'm driving at. Make sure you don't miss me now. Ephesians chapter number 1 verse 3. Read it, everybody. One to go. Wait. Who has? Who shall? When we pray hard, in the sweet by and by, maybe one day. This is what? In the past, who has blessed us with our spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? What does this mean? This means that every blessing that ever exists, every blessing that will ever exist, the Bible says God has blessed us with. Don't you understand? You say, but it says in the heavenly place. That's what I want to tell you. There is nothing in the physical except it has happened first in the spiritual. Any blessing that you have in the physical is as a result of the spiritual one. Because everything that exists today first existed in the spirit world. Why? Because the God that created the whole world is a spirit. There is nothing that exists outside him, outside that word. Because God is a spirit. So if you're going to say you're blessed, it means first, in the realm of the spirit, you're blessed. And now he's saying all the blessings, amplified. Three. He says, may blessings, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit. Blessing in heavenly. Do you know what this means? This means that any blessing, every blessing that could be given by the Holy Ghost has been given to us. In other words, brothers and sisters, no wonder the Bible says that if you are the seed, if you belong to Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham. And Abraham is the blessed man. The blessing belongs to us. No wonder. And the Bible is saying now that we've been blessed with all this blessing. Question. If you have been blessed with all blessings, think of any blessing right now. Just think of anyone. Children. Okay, so why is it that there are Christians that are barren? Which blessing? Think about it. Success. Or why is it that there are Christians that have problems with academics? Think of any other one. Which blessing? Provision. Why is it that there are Christians that lack? But brothers and sisters, is this scripture lying? Emphatically, no. That's where you begin to understand that in the kingdom of God, there's something called the legal part of salvation and then the vital part of salvation. The legal part of salvation means that all that God did for us, all that he did for us, that's the legal part. All that he has accomplished for us, all that he has made happen for us, God has done something. Jesus has died legally. He took your place legally. But then the vital part of salvation states this way: what do I do with what has been done? How does that affect me now? The manifestation of it now in your life. That's the vital part. So what you're seeing now is legal. It's written on the document. You see that? It's there. You can take this document and show anybody. It's like that guy who has a document. The house has been given to him. They say, oh, this house, this property is yours. Then he has the document. And then he can take the document everywhere. But yet, with the document, he's not permitted to live in the house. That's the reason why people are fighting for land and they are killing, taking each other to court. Because he knows that place is his own. He may even be sleeping under the bridge while he has a mansion. They say, is that your house? He says, it's my house. Show us. He brings out the document. His name is there. All the necessary signatures that need to be there are there. But how come he's not living there? So what is he going to do? Good. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. What does that mean? He's able to deliver that which is already yours. He's able to deliver it into your hands. What? The word of his grace. Say hallelujah. You see, this is what, because, you know, many times people get confused. Oh, this is inspiring. You know, we read it from the Bible and then we rejoice. Boy, oh, by whose stripes we were healed. Boy, I've been healed. I refuse to be sick. I was healed. I was healed. If I was healed, you know, you're saying it like that preacher taught you. If I was healed, I was healed. Then I know I was healed. I was healed and I remain healed today. You're saying it. You are still joking with the legal ones. It's like you have that document. You say, it's my own. It's my own. See my name. It's my own. You have to move from that realm into the vital. In the word of God, there are principles. There are laws. I keep telling people, you need to learn to put the principles to work. If you don't, what you're seeing like this that is yours, you will only be seeing it, dancing about it. It will never manifest in your life. It will never manifest. You will know that you have the life of God in you. You will know. In fact, you will even be thinking about it. You know what it means to have the life of God in me? Ah,
Hey, you will be thinking about it, but it will never, you will not live like it. I mean, at the point of death, that sickness is killing you. But then they are asking you, say, do you have the life of God? You say, I know I have the life of God in me. But why are you dying? This is where you need the principles. How do I put this thing to work? How do I work it in my life? How do I have the results in my life? I just told you now, all three ways that any man could achieve greatness or get greatness, Jesus has done that for us. But how come many will still not be great? Why is it that there are Christians that will still not be great? The laws. And I want to begin to tell you, show you some of those laws now. Now, I need to tell you this. There are three categories, we may say, or groups of greatness. There are those who are great in this world. They are great in this world. In other words, as this world is concerned, they are very good. Their name is great. You know some of them. They are really good. They don't have to be born again. And some of them are born again, but they are very great in this world. There are others that are great in the kingdom of God. I won't show you that today. Maybe in the services on Sunday, I may begin to tell you some of those. There are those who are very great in the kingdom of God. God shows us what it means to be great in his kingdom. In other words, in the kingdom of God, they are respected. In the sight of angels, they are respected because they are great. They have a voice in that realm. They have a place in that realm. But the problem is they are not great in this world. They suffer like everybody else. They go through something for a very long period of time without their situation changing. You see that? In this world. But in the realm of the spirit, when they show up, devils will be, they say, come out, the devil's gone. But something is wrong. What about in this world? They are not good. But over there, they are great in that realm. Then the third group are those who are great in the kingdom of God and also great in this world. Those are the ones that God likes, and that's me. Glory to God. You know, incidentally, the way they have made us think, they've made us think that as a Christian, you should just be great in the kingdom of God. And say, don't have anything of this. Those things are devilish. Didn't you read it that the Bible says we are not of this world? Excuse me, when he said we are not of this world, he's not saying that we should not enjoy the best things of this world, though. Otherwise, God will be contradictory. Will be contradicting himself. Hello? Are you still out there? The Bible reveals to us about those that walk with God and how much God made them great. Abraham walked with God. In fact, the Bible says Abraham was the friend of God. And Abraham was loaded. In fact, if you're talking about the description of greatness in the Bible, if you don't mention Abraham, it is not complete. Abraham was a great man. One time I was studying this archaeological research about Abraham, and I discovered that Abraham was so great that in his day, the students and the pupils learned about him, because the archaeologist discovered some slates that were used by these students in learning at school. And then they discovered that the name of Abraham, or the name of his family, was on some of them. Meaning that in school, they talked about, because the guy was a great man. Probably he was a good businessman, you understand? For instance, you know, a great businessman in this country, and then they're teaching class and they mention his name, because, you know, something like that. It was that great that his name was used in teaching in class. And that Abraham was the friend of God. And the Bible reveals that Abraham was great in the kingdom of God. You say, how do you know? You remember when Jesus was talking about that story, was giving us that story of Lazarus and the rich man? The Bible says when Lazarus died, his body was taken to where? Abraham's bosom.
That's paradise in hell at that time. Meaning that that's part of it. All the saints came in there, but Abraham was the head. I love to call him the landlord there. You remember Lazarus was very poor, but he was very righteous. Okay? And he suffered and suffered. And when he left that place, God didn't promote him and say, "Ah, you suffered this much for me? Ah, please bring a crown. Hey, Abraham, you enjoyed on it. Can you just shift? Let this guy sit down though." Lazarus still came to Abraham's bosom. You see, Lazarus was great in the kingdom of God, but in this world, he was not. He was small. Abraham was great in both worlds. And yet, poverty is terrible. Brothers and sisters, I would never be poor. You can as well announce to three people, say, "I would never be poor. I would never be poor. I would never be poor." Glory to God. And did you notice what I said? I said, "Say I would never be poor." I didn't say I will be rich. There's a difference. You understand? Because we are not the poor. We are the rich discovering our inheritance in Christ. We are not the poor. Say hallelujah. That's the reason why we don't say I will be rich. No, we are rich. We are loaded. That's what Jesus made us. Made us rich. And that's why you need to learn the principles, so that these things can manifest in your life for real. The reason you're here is because you want to be great. That's why you came to school. Some of you that are students. That's why you're here. I understand that some of you think small. So you're not thinking of greatness. You're thinking of, I beg, if I can just come in here, just do the thing, collect the certificates, go and be working somewhere, Jerry, and just be earning my money. I know. I understand. I know that kind of mindset. Maybe where you have been raised from, or the way you're thinking, or you've not gotten into the world. If you get into the world, all those nonsense mindsets will fly out the window. Because that's poverty thinking. That's smallness thinking. You see? You are not using your sense at all. I'm sorry if it's insulting, but I'm just feeling for you. Can't you think like this? The guy in whose company you're going to work, that guy, is he a human being? With two heads, right? Is there anything wrong with working under someone? No, not at all. You can start out that way. But if that's all your focus is on, you are headed for failure, for the rocks. Is in a country like this, or the way the world is going, that your life, that's how you want to live your own life. If I can just come out and just be, I know what I would do. If I'm collecting 100,000 per month, I'll be saving 20,000 naira. And then, you see, this your smallness, you. No, maybe before I continue with this, I need to stare some of you small. Because, you know, when they are talking about greatness, because you don't really have this real passion for it, you don't, so it doesn't really get your attention. So you're like, who cares about greatness? I beg, I can't be struggling to get greatness. Okay. If you understand what it means to be great, your desire will go up. You will not be thinking of being small. That's what you'll be looking at. No, I still prefer the middle class life. There is nothing like middle class. I said it here several times. There's nothing like middle class. Apostle, I want to explain. There is the poor. There is the middle class. And then there is the rich. The middle class are those who don't have too much, but they are still comfortable. They are okay. Thank you for your explanation, but I want to tell you, there is nothing like middle class. That's the fact. You see, if they want to dress you and make you feel good, that's why they call you middle class. They're trying to console you in your poverty. The group that is called the middle class are simply the well-decorated poor men. I'm not saying that to knock on anybody. I'm just being honest. I'm looking at it from the Word of God. According to the Word of God, there are only two groups: the rich or the poor. If you are not rich, then you are... You understand? What does it mean to be rich? Can everybody be rich? Will everybody be rich? Everybody will not be rich. Even if, let me tell you, even if we try to make everybody rich, because there are those that, while you are still teaching them the principle, they will still not get it. There's something blocking the mind. It's just like, will everybody be spiritual? No matter how you talk to the guy, there is still something that will still not be spiritual. They still prefer the carnal life. So that answers the question immediately. Everybody will not be rich. But greatness is meant for everybody. Will everybody be great? No. Because while you're teaching, is like that teacher in that classroom, okay, teaching all the he's teaching them the same thing. Oh, they are all looking from the board. They are saying the same thing. He's teaching them. The same explanation is coming out to all of them. But will all of them pass? No. Why? Is it his fault? No. Somebody's fault in there. You see, the advantage you have is that you're still young. So at this moment, you can determine how your life will go. You can determine. Listen, nobody can for you. Nobody is responsible for your greatness or for your smallness. You are responsible. So you can determine. You can choose to be great. You can choose to be small. You can make up your mind. But if you are deceived by your auntie that married a nice husband, and now they have one small car that is carrying them everywhere, okay, in that bungalow, and then you go there, they give you some food that you don't get to eat in your own house, and so that gives you some confidence, like, oh, I just wish I could just be like this, my auntie. Ha ha! Hey! I will never be poor in my life. I wish I could show you something, but I don't want to digress. But with what I'm saying now, I think I need to show you. I just think I... Do you know we've not... I'm not I don't think I can enter the subject today. Maybe, but I just started, but... there's a lot of things in my spirit. You know, young people can deceive themselves. And that's why the Word of God teaches that the first thing you should do, listen, the first thing you should do is to work on being, not on having. You work on being. That's why what God always wants to do with his children is to load them first with the Word of God. Load them first with the Word of God. When you are loaded with the Word of God, you'll be able to take anything. I mean, nothing will be impossible. Don't you understand? You will be unstoppable. There's nobody in the whole world that will be big enough to stop you. No strategies of men will be strong enough to stop you. Don't you understand? When you are loaded with the Word of God, you are loaded with God. And so you become invincible. You become unbeatable. You become unconquerable. Then everything... Didn't you read it? All things are possible to them that believe. Then it says, everything is possible with God. All things are possible with God. It doesn't say for God. It says with God. One time that, you know, Mary was saying, and everything is possible for God. That's because it has to do with what God is doing. But when it has to do with something that has to do with your life, your environment, is with God. That means God with you. And how do you get that to happen? The Word of God. So the first thing God wants to do, and that's, you waste time. You waste time. As Christians, the first thing God wants to do in your life is to first load you up with his Word. When you are loaded with the Word, you are a success going somewhere to happen already. And I don't mean just the Word. I'm talking about the Word of his grace. We talked about it a few minutes ago. Let me show you something. Because, you know, sometimes when we are teaching like this, you're wondering where this confidence came from. Let me show you something. Romans chapter number 8. I just want to show you something. This is by the way, but to help you. You know, one time in the scriptures, I love talking about it. The Bible talks about a guy who was not born again. He was not born again. He didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside. And the Bible calls that guy the wisest man that ever lived. And according to the scriptures, he was the richest in his day. And according to historian, up till now, he is still the richest. Isn't that troubling? He's still the richest. And the guy was not born again. Some of you know who I'm talking about. I love the guy, Lord. I love talking about him. That's Solomon. He wasn't born again because it wasn't possible for anybody to be born again in his day. Jesus had not died. And yet that guy was so loaded. He was working with God. Do you understand? He was working. Who made him? God made him that big. What are you talking about? And that God is my Father. I would never be small. Romans chapter number 8. Let's begin from the 16th verse. The Spirit himself... Read it, everybody. It's right there. Want to go. The All right, we are the children of God. Do you believe that? Who is a child of God? Okay, you are not a child of God. If you are a child of God, say hallelujah. No, we need to establish that first. Because if that's not established, anything else we'll be reading now will not concern you. Okay, next verse. And if children, then heirs. That is simple. If you are his child, then you are his heir. That means the one to inherit some of his stuff. Okay? Now, if he says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Okay, so if you're a child, then you are his heir, whoever that was. Maybe that's your daddy. You are the heir of your daddy. But now he says you are the heirs of God. Meaning, two things. God, you are the possessor of God. That's one. Now, if you possess God, what do you possess? The whole world, right? You are the possessor of God, because that Greek word there, kleronomos, means possessor. It also means inheritor. Not only are you the possessor of God, you also have the right to inherit from him what he has in his estate. Do you understand? So if we are all children of God, and God, everything God has belongs to us, that means we will have, at least you have some parts. So you can have, depending on how God wants to share it, you can have 5%, you can have 5%, you can have 2%, you can have 1%, you can have, and so on and so forth. But you will still get something out of it. And you know that God is very rich. And you know that God is loaded. And you know that the whole world belongs to him. So if you're going to get 1% of all that God has, that is big. He's richer than the richest man presently in the world. Do you understand? Okay. So it tells you, you are heirs of God. That's enough. That is enough. That's enough to make you rejoice forever. I'm an heir of God. I'll never be poor. That's enough. But then it goes further to show you something bigger. He says, joint heirs with Christ. Some of you don't understand. He says, joint heirs with Christ. That's why you are nodding like this. You are looking like that. Do you know what it means to be a joint heir with Christ? He's talking about Jesus. Go to Hebrews chapter number 1. We need to read that for this to make more sense. Now listen, if you're feeling tired now, the demon of poverty is blowing you breeze. He doesn't want you to hear this. Doesn't want you to hear. You know, some of you, you're hearing some things like that and you're feeling tired and feeling sleepy. That means poverty is on your case. So you better shake yourself. I say, I refuse to be poor. I need to catch this. Because you see, wealth begins from your inside. If you don't have it inside, you would never have it outside. Never. If you like, act like it. If it's not inside you, you will never have it. As a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You see, if you're full of poverty inside, you will never, even if they put you on the throne, you will fall off. It's a matter of time. That poverty, that thing will push you to fall off. Look at this. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, next verse, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who is this Son? He's talking about Jesus, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. He's talking about Jesus. He says God had appointed Jesus the heir, the possessor of all things, by whom also he made the world. Two things here. Number one, God appointed him the possessor of all things. If that's all that God did, he owns everything. But then the Bible reveals something else. That by Jesus, God made the whole world. Which means that in the name of Jesus, God made the whole world. Don't you understand? It's like I bought a property in my Son's name. That's what God did there. By whom also he made the worlds. Different ages. Now, this Jesus is the one we just read in Romans that the Bible says we are joint heirs with. What does it mean to be a joint heir? Go back to that Romans. To be a joint heir is very simple. There was one time that I went to the bank. For some reason, I was trying to find out about what it means to have a joint account. I understand that the way they even did it now, it's even better, in the sense that when you have a joint account with someone, it means that everything in that bank account, if there are two of you, everything in that bank account belongs to two of you. If what you have in that bank account is 100,000 naira, it means that the 100,000 naira belongs to two of you. Now, it doesn't belong to two of you as in it belongs to you 50,000, 50,000. That's not what it means. To have a joint account means that if he and he has, they have joint account, a joint account, it means that what is in that bank account belongs to this one. So if you ask how much do you have there, he will tell you 100,000 naira. Just him. Then if you turn to him and say, how much do you have in your bank account? He will tell you 100,000 naira. Why? Because when it comes to joint account, they don't share it. The same way it belongs to this is the same way it belongs to that. That's why it's called joint account. They don't share it. If it's coal now, there's something called coal hair. When you're talking about coal heirs, it means, I understand that some version put it coal heirs. No, that's not right. Because the Greek word joint there is song cleronomos. It means joint heirs. If it's co-heirs now, it means we have to share it. Okay, we have to share it. Whether I'm taking 10, you're taking 90, or I'm taking 20, you're taking 80, 30, 70, and so on and so forth. But joint, no. Everything that is there is equally mine as it is yours. That's what is called joint account. Now, in some cases, and that's the case here now, and I'll show you shortly, he cannot get this Mr. B. Cannot get anything out of that account except with his permission. Don't you understand? He cannot get anything out of that account except with his permission. Meaning that you don't get anything out except the other guy append his signature. Now that's sounding too big. That's like, are you trying to say that I don't get anything without Jesus? And Jesus doesn't get anything. Say hallelujah! That's it. That is why. That's the reason why. In the world today, Jesus cannot do anything here except he uses a man. We are joint heirs in this Father's business. He can't do anything. If he wants to do anything here, he has to do it through a man. And that's why you would see some people, some great men of God have said that Jesus visited them. And of course, I've had a visitation from the Lord too. And visited them and gave them some instructions. He had to visit someone. A dear man of God said one time, Jesus visited him and started begging him. Can you imagine? He said that day he was so shocked. He said he was thinking, so Jesus too has needs. Jesus was begging him to carry out a particular assignment for him. You know, some people think we are rubbish. We are nobodies. They think, oh my God, he can do anything he wants to do without you. It's not true. He needs us. And I mean, God can just, if he can, why didn't he go by himself and win all the, how come he's sending men and anointing men to do it? He needs us. You see, that's why if you're not winning any soul, you're failing him. Because he really needs you to do it. You can say, why must God, if I don't do anything about it, God can get to them without using me now. Must I be the one? He can't do it without you. So the same way we are joint heirs with him. You know, God feels happy when he sees his children who walk in wealth, in greatness. Some of you, maybe you think that he feels bad. He feels you are worldly. No, he doesn't think so. He loves it. He loves to make you big. He loves to make you, make your life beautiful. Listen, there is no glory with God if your life is not beautiful. He doesn't get any glory off of it. He doesn't. How can the children of Satan be having the best things? And he said, no. I don't want to. I don't want. My home in heaven is beautiful. My home in heaven. What's your home in heaven? What about your home here on earth? What are you talking about? Like that song, give me Jesus and take the whole world. And we thought that was humble. That was stupid. Because the devil is rejoicing about it. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's. How can you say he should give you Jesus and the devil should have the whole world? it sounds, you are a child of God. That's sounding stupid. You've given the whole world to Satan? Was it the devil that created the whole world? Who created the whole world? God! So can you tell God to give you Jesus and Satan to have the whole world? And you know there are people who sing this song crying to God to answer the prayer. They now wonder why they are struggling. They are suffering. Brothers and sisters, there are laws for this thing. Okay. All right. I got to stop soon. But in few minutes, let me give you the first law. In few minutes. The first law is called the law of humility. Now, any law of greatness, anyone at all, no matter how you list it, it will fall into these two groups that I'm giving you. And the first one is humility, the law of humility. If God, if you're going to be great with God in this world and in the kingdom of God, you must be humble. You must be. It's important. If you want to do it God's way, you must be humble. James chapter number 4. And we will read from the 6th verse. James chapter number 4. From the 6th verse. Okay, it's on the screen. Look up and read it. Everybody read it. Want to go. God resists the proud. How is this sounding? How can God be resisting someone? But that's what you're seeing there. That's what you're seeing there. Next verse. Did you see it started from somewhere? You have to submit yourself unto God first before you resist the devil. Okay, I won't go into details today. That will be on Sunday. Now, go to the 10th verse. 10th verse. Read it, everybody. Did you see God's criterion? You humble yourself if you want him to lift you. You know why he's telling you to humble yourself? Because in Christ Jesus, you are high. You are already great. So God has to tell this great man to humble himself. If you're already in the position of humble, humility, you understand? He won't tell you to humble yourself. You're already down there. He can't be telling somebody who is down there to humble himself. He can only tell someone who is up there to humble. Because he knows that you have great resources, great wealth in Christ. So you have to be instructed to humble yourself. Amplified. 4 verse 6. Amplified. But he gives us more and more grace. I receive more and more grace in Jesus' name. But he gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says, God sets himself against the proud. Can you see that? That's why the guy has been writing jam again and again. He does not seem to be coming in. Maybe he needs some humility. Because at his present level, he's already terrorizing everybody. He has not gotten to school yet, but his shoulders are like this. So what the Bible says God set himself against is for your good. This needs to be achieved in your life because he knows if he takes you up, the Bible says pride goes before destruction. He knows that, and the Bible says a child left to himself will come to ruin. And so God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to come to destruction. So he has to take time to work on you first. Until you are humbled. By the time you are humbled, he now begins to take you up. Then he takes you to a level where your humility can handle. The Bible specifically says that he himself sets himself against. You see, not the devil all the time. Sometimes it's God. Sets himself against the proud and haughty. But gives grace continually to the lowly. Those who are humble enough to receive it. He gives grace to them continually. How does God judge pride? From your heart. From your heart. That's why many young people, they are still at home. They've not left home now. They are struggling to pass their jam to come out. You know why? Because the guy is too proud. He talks to the mother anyhow, talks to the father anyhow. Some of them, when they manage to get into the school, they begin to struggle. Because the guy is already thinking in his heart, don't worry, it's because I'm still eating your food. When you are beginning to talk like that, you've already... God heard that. It's because I'm still hitting your food. Don't worry. By the time I finish my... And I start working in the bank. And I begin to make my money. You see, I won't... Before you see me. And God is hearing all those things. You now wonder. You are now in the school now. You are struggling. there is issue here in academics here, this, that. You see, you already you've set God up against you. Next, so be subject to God. In the mind of God, you are proud if you are not subject to Him. That's what He thinks. That's one of the definition of pride. There are several others. I won't show you that today. But one is that when you are not subject to God, you are proud. That's the reason why many people, they want to achieve things by their own strengths. Have you ever had somebody wants to do something and then you're telling the fellow, what is God saying about this? Which God in this one again? I mean, we should use our common sense. Hear everything. But as a Christian, you don't think it's important to hear from God before you make your decisions? So you just calculate everything together and think, common sense. I should know this. After this one, the next thing to do is just to do this. And so why do I need God there? So you've calculated it. You see, you are not subject to God. You're not subject to God. And that's why trial and error. It works sometimes, it doesn't work the other time. So you live this life of frustration. Sometimes you're happy because it's almost hit it. Some other time you're sad because disappointment. Submit to God. As a Christian, that's the reason why you have the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead you. That's submitting to God. All right. 10 now. Humble yourself, feeling very insignificant. Now, this one should not be misunderstood. I will talk about it. Feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord. Not in the presence of others. In the presence of the Lord. It doesn't say confess that you are insignificant. Feel so. Feel so. He's talking about this kind of humility. You know, there are people, even in church, everybody standing up. They can't stand up. They are seated. You are setting God against yourself. You are setting Him up. And it's the same God. Can you imagine somebody who is against you is the same one you're praying concerning this matter? You see, that's why so many prayers you just wasted your time. You have your own method of doing things. You no longer follow what the Bible is saying. You no longer follow how Christians should live their lives. You have your own method. And you even think you're smart. And you're thinking, God understands. I will still change. But this period that I am in, let me still take care of myself first. I will still change. I will change. That's self-deception. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. Look at it. Insignificant in the presence of God, of the Lord, and He will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant. That's the scripture. The Bible says the scriptures cannot be broken. Those who are really great are humble. They are humble. In reality, it's those who don't have much that raise their shoulders like this. And you know what happens next is coming to destruction. Because you see, you know, most especially when you have people that are students that just, they are in their part one. Sometimes they don't understand much about life in part one because they've entered now. They become proud. Then when some things hit, then humility will now start. You see, you are proud over nothing now. That's the fact. You're just proud over people who understand life. They are humble. Sometimes the one that you talk anyhow to or against, in God's, in His wisdom, that may be the one that He has organized to help you at a particular point in your life. Some people have insulted their destiny helpers. Some have ignored their destiny helpers out of pride. They say, I can't be going there and going there. What, how much is He planning to give me? What is the matter? I called Him twice. He didn't pick. So I can't call Him again. No, he should hold His money. God will make me big. He will. Yesterday night, you become big. You see, you are deceiving yourself. If you are ever going to be great, it starts with humility. It starts from there. In the kingdom of God, Jesus said, the greatest among you is the servant of all. That takes humility. When you're serving others, it takes humility. If you don't live a humble life, no matter, you may have the talents, you may have the gifts, only you will be displaying. You'll just be telling people, I'm very talented, I can do it more than that guy. The guy you can do it more than is going up. But just notice that you are not living the same spot. You see, you have the gift. People will even be hailing you. Hey, I know of a guy. He's very good. But you know what? Destiny helpers are not just seeing him. They can't see him. Why? God is still dealing with him. They'll be saying, I know of a guy. My God, if you meet this guy is good. Say, but they will never ask for his contacts. You know, when we were young, my mom had this teacups. You know teacups? those ones that come with their saucer, I don't know whether they still in those days. And you know, in those days, many years ago, I'm talking about, you know, in those days, if you didn't have a show glass in your house, in your sitting room, no, you guys are not. So inside that show glass, you display your saucers and your teacups. So there were this set of beautiful teacups. It came with a container for milk, container for sugar, and the teacups. Oh, so beautiful. We used it only once in a while. So my mother would bring it out and set it on the dining. And we'll just, you know, sometimes maybe we are just so happy. Just, mommy, let's use this thing today. He says, bring them down. Then we'll use them. Then it got to a particular time. We use them constantly. Then I noticed there was one of them. That's the container for milk. It was specially designed. I mean, the way it was, it has a cover. It was so beautiful. But you know what? It became useless. Why? Because we use thin milk. And those who are those who made the milk, they already made the tin. So if you're going to use a powdered milk, even if it's sachet, you don't see this one relevant now because you just put inside your these things directly. As time went by, that thing, when we brought those cups out, we didn't bring that one along anymore. We let it there. It's too beautiful. It's pride. It's not making us use it. That's what happens to many people. God leaves them on the shelf. He's lifting everybody else around them. They can't understand why they are not rising. They can't understand it. But everybody around is being lifted. You know what God does? He will not take what he has given you. He won't take it from you. The little that he has given you, won't. No, he will leave you with it. The Bible says his gifts are without repentance. That position that he has put, he won't take it all. What we just do is we leave you with it. We raise everybody else around you. Then your position becomes small. Everybody else has gone up. Why? Your pride is still dealing with something. Still dealing with something. And there's a way God can humiliate, you know, when he sets himself against such a person. There's a way you can be humiliated. You'll be prostrating. Please help me, sir. Because situation will come up that will make you prostrate. You will be prostrating. Please help me, sir. And the one you're saying, the heart is hardened. The heart is hardened. He can't help you. Please help me, sir. Please help me, sir. Until you get into a situation, this is a big mess now. And then you are completely crawling on the floor. You've learned your lesson. Pride is a terrible thing. That was what made the devil fall. It was what kicked him out. And now he became a demon. And according to the Bible, Satan was a beautiful angel. So beautiful. The description of Satan that the Bible gave us. Satan was so beautiful. The Bible says perfection of beauty. God made him specially. But pride. Check him out now. He had become a devil. Because of pride. You want to be great? You humble yourself. First, in the hands of God. Second, before men. Before men. I can't take my time to tell you all of that today. On Sunday we'll continue. But wherever you are now, I want you to pray and talk to the Lord to help you with humility. Tell him to help you with humility. Tell him to help you. You desire greatness. Tell him to help you. If there is anywhere you're missing it, let the Lord open your eyes. If he has opened your eyes to it already, tell him to help you. Tell you what to do.
This message was produced by Supernatural Kingdom Church. To get more of our messages, call 0816-0114-389. Thank you and God bless you.